Welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Guests on this podcast shed light on innovations in value-added agriculture, highlight important voices and work that's being done throughout the Minnesota ag sector, and educate people about the resources and organizations that support Minnesota agriculture. I'm Jamie Dickerman, your host. Thanks for making us a part of your day today. And we are joined by Doug Friedman. He is the CEO of BioMade. Doug, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us here on this podcast. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you today.
Well, and I guess we'll start right at the beginning, because maybe a lot of our audience not familiar with BioMade. Can you talk about BioMade, your mission, why you were created, how you were created? Kind of give us the backstory, all that good information.
Sure, Jamie. First, thank you for having me, and a big thanks to our friends at AURI for all of the great work that they do, and including us in today's episode. BioMade is a nonprofit public-private partnership that was established right at the tail end of 2020 to advance U.S. competitiveness in bioindustrial manufacturing. And so I'll unpack that a little bit, because I included a lot of buzzwords in that introduction. And so being a public-private partnership means that we serve as an interface between the U.S. federal government and the private sector to advance a particular field. And we do that in the area of bioindustrial manufacturing, which means using biology and biological systems to manufacture industrial products. And you can imagine really any industrial product you want, anything from commodity and specialty chemicals, materials, potentially some food products, all in the industrial space. And what we care about is advancing the manufacturing sector using these biological systems. We do a lot of work with the U.S. Department of Defense. That is the part of the federal government that established us. And so a part of that is really to help both the U.S. military and the broader economy advance U.S. supply chain security by using the things that the U.S. really has to offer. And one of the things that makes me so excited about this particular podcast and talking to you guys with AURI is that we really believe at the core of what we do that the agricultural sector is at the heart of bioindustrial manufacturing success. And so this type of interface for us is just so important to being able to advance U.S. manufacturing competitiveness and U.S. agricultural success.
Well, and it's exciting to learn more about this, because, you know, I feel like, you know, maybe the United States hasn't always been at the forefront of this. And so what countries would you say are leading in this space now, and how are we coming along in that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I think first and foremost, the U.S. is a global leader in this sector, but it is a tight race. And so, you know, we can talk about and maybe unpack a little bit what we mean by talking about global leadership in a manufacturing sector. And so I'm going to do that by breaking it down into a couple of areas. First, let's talk about what are the underlying technologies that really are needed to be a leader. And then what surrounding those technologies, what business conditions, what types of supply chain conditions are really needed to lead to that success. And so I can do this quickly and then help understand how the U.S. in those areas really fits in on a global competitiveness scale. So first and foremost, the underlying science and innovation that has gone into bioindustrial manufacturing, which really comes out of modern biotechnology. So you may have heard of things like CRISPR gene editing that has come up, right? There was a Nobel Prize on that, probably 7 or 8 years ago now. And these types of technologies, these are the same underlying technologies that we think about for broader manufacturing success. And you hear those coming out of US companies, US universities really successfully. But other countries around the world are not far behind, right? Particularly China has been catching up rapidly on technology development. And while I would still say my, you know, Doug Friedman's assessment of today tells us that we've got a bit of an edge, if we don't keep pace, we will lose it. That is just the way that this technology is evolving. Now let's talk about the broader sort of set of business conditions for a minute and say, you know, first, let's be honest, the US has struggled in recent years in maintaining robust manufacturing dominance. And that's because it's hard to be a manufacturer in the US. There are a lot of things that make that hard. And we've offshored an incredible amount of manufacturing over the last several decades. And so we should be really conscious that we are talking about bringing something back to the US, right? We don't have it necessarily in the way we want it today. And establishing robust business conditions across the US to be able to do that is going to be important to say, hey, we're the choice for manufacturing. But now let me bring a little bit of good news about the bioindustrial space. The good news is that bioindustrials use agricultural feedstocks as their primary feedstock source. So let's just talk about raw material feedstock inputs into bioindustrials. Today, the vast majority of that is corn dextrose. The vast majority. What is one thing the United States is extremely good at? We are incredible at growing corn. So we have an edge. We have an edge because of good decisions we've made. We have an edge because our agricultural communities drive this really successfully. We have an edge because we have broad governmental support. So the questions to us is to say, how do we leverage that to make sure that we maintain that edge in this broader global ecosystem where it's not a guarantee that it would otherwise happen?
And it's super exciting to hear you say things like that, because, I mean, even in the news right now, we know that the United States is going to be growing, has grown a record crop of corn, and we keep hearing about that and how, you know, there's so much corn, the prices are down, we can find other usage. This is very exciting.
Yeah, this is right. So for us, one of the things that we're really interested in is saying, how can we better partner with the growers and their associations and their ecosystems? Again, this is why being on an AURI podcast is exciting, is it's saying if we do a better job in the industrial biomanufacturing space at thinking about the true end-to-end ecosystem that's required, then we're going to be able to identify opportunities and build that into more manufacturing processes than we otherwise would be able to. And, you know, it's a big country. There's a lot of growers out there. But that's, you know, saying those things is, and not doing anything about it is an excuse, right? We have an opportunity to build those bridges. And that, to me, is where you say, hey, we can open up these new opportunities so that when you have a year with a great crop, you can understand this is the wider space and bring some certainty to the growers such that you see less fluctuation in the demand signal and therefore, for example, more price stability, which otherwise would be a real, you know, problem and is something that is something that you just referenced, right, for this year.
So what made you choose Minnesota as a pilot location for this? And what other locations are there being pursued? Where else will this be happening?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So let me bring you back to sort of how we were thinking about even creating BioMade in 2019 and 2020. And it comes back to something I was sharing before about the technology and then the set of business conditions. Well, when you think about where a lot of the underlying biotechnology has been developed. That was mostly done, especially in those times, in the San Francisco Bay Area, in Boston, in, you know, maybe Chicago, maybe some other university hubs, right? The U, University of Minnesota, has certainly played a role in that. But really, it's been, you know, a couple of coastal elements that have been driving that. We were frustrated a little bit, right? And I say this as a guy who lives in California. We were frustrated a little bit by saying, hey, why are we not better able to translate these technologies to industrial manufacturing? Well, part of that is because you can only do that if you are present in the place where that type of manufacturing occurs. And so where does bioindustrial manufacturing occur in the United States today? Well, largely in the Midwest and certainly the upper Midwest, including Minnesota. And so we made a really active decision early on to build this bridge, right? A human bridge, to have people near where the technology was developed, and then also have them, hey, this is where we do the manufacturing. Hey, this is where the feedstocks are grown. This is why we need to be in those locations. And, you know, it has been just such a successful opportunity to be able to build that bridge. And that is one of the reasons why Minnesota was selected early on as, hey, this is a place that, you know, wants to be a leader. But transparently, BioMADE is a national organization. And so we are interested in the country's success. We have members in 40 states. And so we're really trying to say, now, how can Minnesota, and how is Minnesota really demonstrating national leadership in driving this? Hey, we can try it here first, but then we want to replicate it in a whole lot of places.
So when is the Maple Grove, right? When is that going to be officially up and running?
Yeah, so our flagship facility in Maple Grove is one we're really excited about. It'll be our largest facility to date. And we expect that to open in 2027, probably toward the end of the year. This is going to be a state-of-the-art industrial biomanufacturing pilot facility with a lot of specialized capabilities. And so we're really excited about that facility getting up and running.
So let's talk more about the bio-based products and research that you're looking at, and what's really exciting you right now.
Sure. You know, one of the things that's really an opportunity in bioindustrial manufacturing is securing our underlying chemical supply chains. I'm a chemist by training who got into this understanding that we have offshored so much of our chemical production that we are dependent now on a lot of other countries, right? You asked earlier in this conversation, you know, what other countries are leading in bioindustrial manufacturing? And I kind of turned it and said, hey, well, the US is really playing a leadership role here. You know, we are not a leader anymore on a global scale in commodity and specialty chemical manufacturing. We are importing the vast majority of those underlying feedstocks, which drive the majority of the manufacturing economy. And so that is where I see bioindustrial manufacturing having an incredible opportunity space. And then when you think about it, you say, okay, well, what are these underlying chemicals? What are these underlying chemicals good for, right? What are they used for? Well, then you can start to think about, and we have projects in these areas about textiles coming from now agricultural sources through bioindustrial manufacturing to make plant-based nylon, right? And so we see nylon 6,6 is a good example in other durable textiles. And it's one that's really interesting to us in the context of both the economic security mission. Hey, we can do more chemical and then textile manufacturing domestically, but also there's a defense need for this, right? There's a defense need for these underlying chemicals and materials, and building that bridge gives us a real opportunity.
Now, we talked about this a little bit and kind of touched on it, but I really, you know, again, this is an AURI podcast. A lot of farmers are going to be tuning into this. So I want you to talk to me, talk to the farmers out there and really tell them, you know, why this is so important, what's being done right now.
You know, if we think about the global, I'm coming back to the global chemical economy to put this in context, right? The top 50 chemical firms globally have $4 trillion of revenue. I'm going to repeat that. The top 50 chemical producers in the world have $4 trillion of revenue. It is not really possible for the human mind to contemplate the scale that we are talking about. So, if what we are going to do is bring some of that chemical production to the United States, for an industry of that size, we are going to need an astronomically large volume of feedstock. You are talking about something that is incredibly large. And so when we're talking about the farmers and growers, it's saying, hey, what feedstocks are being used today? And then importantly, what are the opportunities for different feedstocks to be used in the future? And so I already referenced corn and corn dextrose, right, as the principal feedstock. That is true today, and that is not going to change tomorrow. You know, thinking about Minnesota, sugar beets are also a great feedstock for industrial biomanufacturing, right? High sugar compounds. We also can think about crops like, well, not crops, but grown products like switchgrass and sugarcane as potentially other feedstocks. But then you can even widen the aperture, and this is where some of the R&D is particularly exciting. And so, for example, BioMade had a project just a couple years ago using dairy waste, so the acidic dairy whey from dairy producers as the feedstock for chemical production. And so one of the reasons I like to bring up this particular example is because it's taking something that is a waste product that dairy farmers have to pay to get rid of and valorizing it, right? We're flipping the script and saying, hey, this is now an additional product you can sell and get it into an ecosystem that otherwise wouldn't exist. And so this is, again, coming back to my request, right? I like to come on podcasts and make an ask of the listeners, right? The farmers and growers out there, right? Help us understand better the entire process that you are managing. What are the things that cost, right? What are your waste products? We want to know what those are, because they may represent an opportunity for our industry. And all of a sudden, your waste product turns into another thing you can sell. And those are the types of opportunities that make us really excited about this space, and are only the ones that come up through really good dialogue and collaboration across industries.
So how can industry participants get involved, get engaged with BioMade? How does that process work?
Yeah, so BioMade is, so at its core, BioMade is a membership organization. So we have member companies, universities, nonprofits. AURI, for example, is a member of BioMade. That is the principal way of getting involved. I'd say for individual farmers and growers, through your associations. Right? Encourage your associations to get in touch with us and say, hey, how can we get at the table to help work through these problems? We have a real interest and have had some positive interactions with ag associations out there, including and especially in Minnesota, to say, hey, what can we do to put the pieces together to better understand this? And so it's really just sort of putting up the demand signal. Tactically, it's just getting in touch, right? Go to our website, biomade.org, send us an email, hello@biomade.org. We have an incredible team that is interested in interacting with anyone who comes in with an interest in advancing this broad mission that we have. And, you know, it's not hard for me to imagine that the core listener of a podcast like this is probably net interested in the types of things that we're working on and can bring strong collaborative value to the work that we do.
Most definitely. Doug, super enlightening conversation. Thank you for taking time to be with us today and exciting, exciting things, exciting new and innovation going on for farmers, for agriculture in general. It's very exciting stuff.
Thanks so much. It's been great to be with you today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Doug Friedman, CEO of BioMade, joining us. And that will do it for this edition of the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. This has been the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota.